We are now live with the Council of Elders show with Mr. Jason Burton and special guest, Mr. Boyce. He will introduce himself there very shortly, but let's get ready for connection.
Hello, everybody. My name is Jansen Brooks, and I want to welcome and thank everybody calling in this week to the Council of Elders program. For you new listeners, let me explain the purpose of the Council of Elders concept. The purpose is for older people, elders, if you will, to give advice, counsel, and life experience to younger people, advice that can help them navigate successfully through life, deal with issues, and avoid some of the pitfalls that can affect everyone. The concept is based historically on African culture, where elders in the community had council members to help guide tribe members, settle disputes, etc. Young people are especially invited to call in with questions and issues today. My dream is to have a Council of Elders group or organization in every community in America, and for the Council of Elders to be known about in the community so that people could have an opportunity to get advice from elders about their concerns. But it first starts with a single Council of Elders group, so I'm assembling a group of elders here in the Sacramento, California area. I'd like to have about 10 volunteers initially. Once we get enough volunteers, we can go to youth centers, juvenile halls, boys and girls clubs, and churches, etc. We can also be available to young adults as well. Sometimes they need advice on how to raise kids, how to get along in their careers and marriages. Moving forward, this is an effort to bridge the gap between young people and elders. The younger generation today and the older generation should start to merge. The Council of Elders is an effort to do so. And before I introduce special guest, Mr. Boyce, today, let me get a little introduction from Michael and Walter. Hello?
Good morning. Good morning.
Okay. All right, gentlemen. We got Mr. Aaron Boyce with us today. Aaron currently lives in Sacramento, California. Aaron has traveled throughout the United States facilitating seminars on marketing, small business development, employment, and entrepreneurship. In over 20 years of service, he has authored two books, published a business and community magazine, hosted two radio talk shows and one podcast show, and consulted with hundreds of small business owners on how to reach success. He has had the honor of helping youth, teens, and adults with life skills, relationships, and real-world issues. Currently, he serves as the marketing director of Florence Square, where he provides marketing, consulting.
Mr. Brooks, you are offline. Mr. Boyce?
Yes, I'm here.
Please continue with your introduction. Mr. Brooks is offline for whatever reason.
Okay. So, yes, hi. I am Aaron Boyce, and as Mr. Brooks was saying, I am currently the marketing director of Florence Square, where in Sacramento it's called Sacramento's Black Wall Street. If any of you remember, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, in the 20s, there was a group of very motivated black folk where they were very business-minded and very prosperous and successful, and they were dubbed Black Wall Street. Of course, that did not end well because of the jealousy and the overall and over racism of their neighbors, who decided that they could not have such an organization or city near them, and they destroyed it. Still, the legacy lives, and it absolutely lives in our building, where we are 100% minority, over 80% black owned, over 60% women owned, and even the building with the 74,000 square feet is owned by an African American man.
Wow, great.
So, is Mr. Brooks back on?
I believe he is. Mr. Brooks, are you there?
Left, you hear me?
Mr. Brooks, are you there? I believe he is now. Mr. Brooks, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
We hear you fine.
Okay, great. I have a little technical difficulty. Sorry about that. But, Aaron, you've done quite a bit of motivational speaking, I understand. How did you happen to evolve into motivational speaking?
Well, that's kind of interesting, at least to me, okay? I've been stuttering since I was 9 years old and had to deal with all the usual bullying and problems that would be associated with somebody being a stutterer in school, and you know, but I had this innate ability and desire to want to do something with my life, and I want to be a teacher. And I'm born and raised in New York City, and a product of the 70s. That's when I graduated high school. And I was convinced back in the 70s that being a teacher and trying to be a breadwinner for the family was not a good idea. So I stopped my desire to be a teacher, and I decided to get into business, which I did. But the interesting thing is, as my success, whatever success that has been, has grown, and my notoriety has grown, people would come to me and ask me, how did I do it, and how can I help them do it? So I found myself teaching them. And then some parents came to me, and they said, hey, you know, do you think that you can mentor my kids? And so by that time, I had something called the forget what it's called. But it was my magazine that I had. And so I decided to help mentor the kids. I had something called the Junior Journalist Program. And the Junior Journalist Program, in my time, I probably have mentored maybe 50 to 60 kids through that Junior Journalist Program. Again, teaching. And that just expanded to me doing workshops and seminars and then full-blown classes. And then I expanded that to go nationwide. And, yeah, it was fun. And I never stopped stuttering. I am a stutterer. That's who I am. And I've been okay with that a long, long time ago.
Oh, well, that's quite inspirational, Aaron, because sometimes things like that can stop people from exceeding in their lives, and it's good to see that you didn't let that be an obstacle for you.
Well, now, it's all about knowing who you are and accepting who you are, and if we're going to talk about tips for success in business, that's a huge thing, knowing who you are and accepting who you are. It doesn't mean that you're now willing and able to change, but the changes have to make sense to you. They have to work for you, right? And I was so focused on so many other things that being focused on the way that I speak was never that important to me.
Right, right. Well, in your mentoring, what were some of the themes that you had in mentoring youth?
Well, I guess I am a old school, and I am from New York, and I gotta say, in my humble opinion, folks, New York is a lot more business than California is. I know, but so I came with what's called that New York state of mind, you know, where I'm gonna handle my business despite any obstacles that might come up. But I was also taught that when you're talking about business, especially a black man in America, when you're talking about business and you want to be about business, you got to look like you want to be about business. So one of the things that I absolutely mentored my youth is anybody who dealt with Aaron Boyce and any other programs that I've had through the years is that when we're out in the community, there is no sagging, dragging, bagging, none of that. We're going to look professional. We're going to look professional. And it worked because I taught them what they needed to know in terms of business and life skills and entrepreneurship, banking, making money, home ownership. I taught them these things so that when they went out into the community, people would say, oh, those are Aaron's kids. Those are Aaron's kids. And they treated them with respect. I mean, my kids, they even co-hosted the radio show that I did. And once a month, they produced their own radio show. You know? So they also had their own section in the magazine. To me, it was all about teaching upward mobility, teaching entrepreneurship. Two things that are very important to our people is the concept of entrepreneurship and understanding that upward mobility can happen.
Right, right. Well, you know, Aaron, you are personifying virtually everything that the Council of Elders stands for, trying to promote upward mobility and I was using a little, a television comedy, a couple of comedy shows as sort of an analogy. You take Good Times with Florida and James and JJ. They're living in the projects in Chicago, and Florida is maybe a maid, and James works odd jobs. And on the other hand, you look at the Huxtables, on the Cosby Show, with him being a doctor and his wife being a lawyer. And so we were looking at how can we bridge the gap. In other words, what can Florida and James teach their kids so that one day they could grow up, you know, and change the cycle of poverty. And so that's one thing I wanted to talk to you about today, because really right now we're developing some best practices for parents to teach their kids. So any suggestions that you would have for parents and grandparents to teach their kids and also learn themselves so that generations down the line, things could be better?
Well, Jason, I remember watching both of those shows, and they are both very beloved in my mind. You know, talk about both shows with a strong father and mother experience, you know, both shows that taught their children their values. Now it's very interesting that back in the day, the Cosby Show with the Huxtables was condemned as being unreal. It was unreal. It doesn't tell the real black experience. And I felt very upset about that, you know, because why not? Why not? Yes, it does show the real black experience. It may not be your experience, but there are absolutely black folk who have reached that and have understood that type of success. What I love about the Huxtable Show is that as successful as they were, the family was very much involved with black themes, you know, black themes. It was truly a show that could teach. Now, the difference between Good Times and Cosby Show is, I think, yes, they did teach, but what did they teach? On Good Times, it was about working hard. James was always working hard. He was a man who was working hard, working so hard that I believe on the show it killed him, you know, because he was on the Alaskan pipeline or something, and he died working hard, you know. And I don't think success is about working hard. It's about working smart. And we've heard that before. And yeah, I mean, working hard is a part of it, but working smart is where the money comes in. I was told this. If you can picture this, the person who works that 9 to 5, getting his $15 to $20 an hour, okay, he's never going to be as successful as the person who is making his money by managing that person who is working that 9 to 5 hourly job. But that person who's managing is never going to be as successful as the person who owns the whole thing, right? The person who owns that is going to be more successful. But that person will not be more successful than the person who is giving his money into the business, and he's making money while he's staying home in bed. Okay? So
right.
there are these levels. And so our community talks a lot about level one. And I'm seeing these generations of hardworking people who aren't really going anywhere. But it doesn't mean they're not working hard. It doesn't mean that they're not great and wonderful people. But we're talking about success. And success, we gotta find a way to teach our children how to stop being that 9 to 5 and how to move up that ladder. And it goes with education. And I gotta tell you, Jason, back in my day, education meant you go to the library in New York, right? And you pull out books, which I did. I pulled out books. I love books. I do. I pulled out books. And that was what you did, you know, you pulled out books. But in 2020, there are videos. There's the whole internet. If you want to be successful, there's somebody who has written something and did a YouTube about the success that you want to happen. All you got to do is seek it out. It is there. You know, success is not hard. Success is about finding the resource, learning from the resource, and then copying it. And there's nothing wrong with that. At the same time, now, a little bit of ingenuity and innovativeness is fine. And that was, in my time, I had to be very innovative and to get the things that I want. But starting out with, I learned from the masters, sometimes in person, other times, like I say, through books and tapes and that type of thing. When the night drove, I listened to motivational tapes, as they call it. But don't call it motivational, call it instructional tape. You know, so take out the hip-hop, take out the music, which jazz is a wonderful thing, but take out that jazz and put on somebody talking to you as you drive. You know, learning,
right.
Learning is 24/7.
So, in other words, in the scenario that I mentioned about Florida, James, JJ, you know, you were saying that the parents should teach their kids more than just the level one, but to reach to higher heights. And Aaron, as far as the encouragement that parents can give kids, because I think in a lot of cases, the older folks may say, well, you know what, my time is just about up. You know, I'm 50 years old, I'm 60 years old. You know, what I want to do is leave a legacy so that my kids and grandkids can be in a better situation than I am. And I'm not condemning older folks saying, you know, this is the end of the line, because Colonel Sanders didn't invent Kentucky Fried Chicken until he was 65 years old. So anything is possible. But as far as the types of encouragement that you feel that parents should give kids, is there anything that you feel that they should tell them, or any actions that you feel that they should do for them? One thing that I think that parents and grandparents should do is let their kids see them studying, see them reading books, you know, that's not just comic books, but just reading books, so that the kids see that they are learners. But is there anything besides that that you feel that people can encourage, words of encouragement, or just things they can say to plant seeds in these young people's minds?
Yes, and you know, that's a very slippery slope that you are talking about. And just to be clear, I never tell anybody what they should or should not do. Only thing that I can do is to let people know what has worked for me and what has worked for other people. And honestly, what has worked for me may not work for you. Okay, what has worked for hundreds of successful people may not work for you. But my job is to provide you with that information. Then you can decide what you want to do with it. I got to tell you, you know, when you talk about let them read books, you know, everybody says that they want to be successful. I mean, that's what they say. No, nobody wants to live a hard, scrabble life where they got to struggle for each and everything that they're doing. Nobody really wants that. You know? But it's how to change those habits. And I think that's what we're talking about. It's about habits. And it's habits of a generation. It's habits of a lifetime. And it's personal habits that you yourself have developed. I know people who have told me, they go, Aaron, I want to make money. And I don't like this job that I'm in. It's working hard, it's hourly, I'm definitely not getting paid anything, and I hate it. So, okay.
Aaron, yes. let me interrupt for just a second and let anyone that's listening know that you're listening to the Council of Elders call-in show. And if you have a question or comment, you may press the number 1 on your phone so that Oscar can recognize that you want to say something. And we're asking everybody to try to keep their questions or comments down to no more than 90 seconds. So if you have a question or comment for Mr. Boyce, press the number 1, folks. Okay, Aaron, go ahead. I'm sorry for cutting you off.
All right, then. All right. I'm looking forward to some folks pressing that button so we can have a conversation with them. But I was saying that it's a habit. So there's a young lady who says she wants to be successful. And we had a good conversation, and she agreed with what I was telling her, some other things that could be done. Well, about a week goes by, And I ask her, well, have you done any of these things? And she goes, well, no. And she kind of saw the look of disappointment on my face. I couldn't mask it. I'm sorry, right? And she began to tell me about how I don't know her life. I don't know how busy she is. I don't know the fact that she got kids. I don't know the fact that this job is working her so hard, that she comes up so tired. She says, I don't know this. And she says, I do not know about her life. And I'm listening to this, and it's all valid points. And the only thing that I could say is, okay. But then I said, at the same time, why can't you just spend a half an hour before bed working on your success that you want to happen in your busy day? Now you come home tired. Just open up a YouTube and go to sleep on a YouTube talking about being successful. Read a chapter in a book, you know. Turn on some motivational something so that you're doing something in every day. She couldn't understand that. All she could understand was, no, I don't understand how busy and tired she is. Jensen, you can't serve two masters. You got these two dogs, and they both need to be fed, right? One dog is success. It's everything that you do to be successful. The other dog is excuses, lots of excuses. And these are great excuses. These are wonderful, fantastic excuses. But you can't feed them both. So who are you going to feed? You're going to feed the excuses, or are you going to feed the success? You can't feed them both. You can't serve two masters. And I could not get her to understand that. So we had to part ways. We had to part ways. Because no matter how I said it, no matter how many times I said it, I did not understand her life. And all I could say was, okay. And so this is where we have a lot of in our community. We have a lot of great excuses. And by the way, it's not just limited to our community. Humankind is about excuses. You're only going to get 20% of people who are doing 8% of the work. And clearly we know that only 1% of people are like the multimillionaires and billionaires. But if we have a burning desire, and that's what it is, the burning desire, based upon some education, and then based upon what I call think, observe, ask, challenge, and do. Those five things. You do the think, observe, ask, challenge, and do, and success will be yours. Because success is a science. It is a science. Okay? And so if you do the things that are necessary to be successful, okay, 99% of the time, that success will happen. You may not be a multi-billionaire, but you will have greater success than you have now. And this is what I would love for our community to instill within their children.
Mr. Boyle.
Oh, yes, Oscar.
Oscar,
come on.
Yeah. This is me. I would like to say I'm encouraged just by hearing you. Every time I listen to one of these shows, I'm always energized and excited. And you encourage me by taking your what would be a liability and turn it into a success. By all indications, you're very successful. And I'm impressed with what you've taken. If you have been dealt lemons, eat lemons. And so you have... You're very encouraging, and I wish you well. And I think that your idea about level one, level two, and level three, that's spot on. Level one just means that you're out there just trying to make a 9-to-5, making minimum wage. Level two is you're the boss of that guy making minimum wage. But level three means you have started your own business. There's a much better possibility for you to make real money. So I back out.
But now don't forget level four, though. Level four is the financier behind level three. Level four is the guy with the money who's sitting at home watching TV or reading books or something, making more money, more money, but he ain't out there hustling, though. His money is hustling. That's the
point. I got you. That's the way to go right there.
Yes, sir.
Hey, man. Aaron, this is Walt Williams, and thank you for being on the show today. And what you have said is just awesome. You have explained it with such clarity. Makes all the sense in the world for anybody that wants to be successful, especially in the financial world. We have to also understand that success is measured in terms of goals and attainment of those goals. And you said it already that what has worked for you may not work for someone else. And everyone in the world's goal is not to be a millionaire or a billionaire. So we have to go back to the basics of, and you covered all of this. I'm just restating what you've already covered. You have to make up your mind. You have to make a choice, and then that you have to spend time and you have to make sacrifices and whatever your goal is, and set some small goals first and attain that, and then move to the next step. You said it all in a much more eloquent way than I could ever say it. And so you are saying some wonderful things for the audience and for parents, as well as for young folk who are looking to succeed in life. And understanding that success is not always measured in money. Success is measured in the attainment of whatever goal that you set for your
now,
life.
Now,
thank you so very much.
Mr. Walter, right? Walter?
Yes, sir.
So Walter, I absolutely agree with that with one small caveat. So success is about reaching your goals. That is true. However, one of your goals must be to at least be sustainable, right?
So there's
got to be an element of sustainability, because my goal could be, hey, I want to do music. As long as I'm doing music, I'm okay. Well, honestly, forget that. In reality, my goal was to speak. I love speaking. And so I found myself speaking for free a lot just because I want to speak. I'm like, oh, you ain't got money? That's fine. I'll speak. But that wasn't getting my bills paid. So I had to find a way to monetize my goals so that I could do what I love. I do it well, but I get paid to do it as well.
Yes, sir. Understand.
Might I comment here? This is Ron Rogers out of Sacramento. And I too agree with everything that you said, sir, except for one thing.
Those
generation things that Jensen, see, he raises questions like this, okay. In my day, when I was watching the Jeffersons, I did see him work hard. But that was the message of the time. We did, as black Americans, we bought in on that hype. All you have to do is work hard, you get there. Well, that's true, but that was the spirit of that time. When it came back to the Huxtables, we were dreamers then. You ask any one of them kids, and they had a dream.
Yeah.
See, JJ didn't have a dream. He was playing the role, running the women, you know, doing his painting.
Uh-huh.
But he liked doing that. And that's what would have made him successful. I have a friend all the time say, find something to do that you like, and you will be successful. Now, that, again, like Brother Walker mentioned, success is different things for different people. I got a brother, he don't want no whole bunch of money. But I was different, and I blew it all. So where was the success in that? Okay.
So
I agree with you 100%, brother. But see, a lot of times we individually have to make up our mind as to what we want and what we're willing to sacrifice. Mm-hmm. That's the reason we have such a drug dealing problem, I feel. Is because everybody wants to, you know, wear the chains and do the driving and the big whatever, Maserati or this, that, and the other. But do they realize you got to pay? Sooner or later, you got to pay.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in complete agreement with you, but I'm also like you in this point where you can't tell nobody what they want. You got to kind of show them. And that's kind of what we at the Council of Elders, I believe, are trying to teach. Each man has his own destiny. And you got to find yours.
I've been blessed, sir. I've been very blessed that I've been able to work with other people's children for well over 20 years. Other people's children. And that has been, oh, my God, that has been such a blessing to me, because that's something, as you've heard me say, I want to be a teacher when I was so young. And so, you know, I worked with young people as young as 7 years old and as old as, you know, in the 20s and 30s, you know, older than that, but that was young people. And as I mentioned before, I want to show them what success looked like and what success sounded like. So I was the guy who, well, I was professional. I was professional by my standards of being professional, and that's very important. By my standards of being professional, I was that, and I instilled with my kids honor and integrity, and yes, hard working, yes, but smart working even more.
Right.
So today, some of the kids that I work with are writing their own book. And it's a real book that will be sold on Amazon. It's called Youth, The Untold Story. Okay?
I was not trying to be disrespectful by any means, because this is exactly what God is telling us to do. But the idea that one size fits all, no, it doesn't. Some people, and we had a gentleman on the other week, we got to start paying more attention for some of our brothers, that a trade is the best way to go. And see, again, like I say, my deal was money, okay? I came out like you're saying. I came out guns blazing, and that was good for me. And that is all I'm trying to say is that as was mentioned before, success is measured on different degrees. And that's the only point I was trying to make.
I
like financial freedom. Well, I see it ain't nothing better.
So do you remember raising in the sun? Are you old dogs? You will remember a raisin in the sun, and poor Walter. I think that was his name on the movie, played by Sidney Poitier. He wanted to be successful so badly. He really did, you know. He just couldn't get a break. He just could not get a break. And I mean, I remember being a young person watching the show, and I felt so bad for him. I did. And so, you know, I hear what people tell me about, yes, everyone's got to find their own way. And that's true. I will say, however, that there is a formula for success in whatever way you want to be. You want to be music. You want to be art. You want to be business. You want to be teaching. You want to be a carpenter, you want to be a cook, you can do all that, but still dealing with the business of these things, and that is a science, and that science can be teachable. Okay, for instance, you never spend more than you can afford to lose. You make calculated risk, not you know, crazy risk. You know what I mean? I mean, these are tenets in business that pertain to all these things. History. You find out the history of whatever business you want to be in. Because again, there are people who have done it and been successful. So there's a reason to start cold and to start from scratch. There are things that you can do that are the same in any single thing that you want. And then you reach whatever part of success that you want. Because not everybody wants to be a multimillionaire, but you do want to sustain yourself for you and your family. If you're not making the money to sustain yourself, you and your family, I don't consider that to be successful. You may be having fun.
Right.
You may be having fun. But if you're not sustaining yourself for you and your family, you are a liability.
Yeah.
And we don't need you to be a liability.
Amen. You're the leader. You're the leader.
One second.
Stand up and act.
This is the Council of Elders show with Mr. Jansen Brooks and his special guest, Aaron Boyce, discussing how to teach your children to be successful. You are strong. Mr. Boyce.
Let me go back to Florence Square, which is right here in Sacramento. And I mentioned to you that we are considered Sacramento's Black Wall Street. Well, in that building, we have a host of African-American businesses all working hard, and most of them are working smart. And they are successful in their own way. Some of them are still struggling, yes, but they're reaching the goals that they want. And the cool thing about that is that they're taking the time to teach and bring young people with them. It's a wonderful thing to be in that building and see it at work. And we got everything from a museum to retail businesses. I mean, we have a nonprofit. We have a for-profit, service thing, right? We're going to have a wellness center. I mean, we got all the things that are necessary for the community to be self-sustaining right here in one building, 74,000 square foot. It's a great thing. It's about people helping people helping people.
Right.
Awesome.
Somebody had a question?
No, Jansen, this is Walter. You remember when we were in high school, we had a vocational agriculture teacher, Mr. Hale, and one of the things that Mr. Hale always taught us, and it remains with me this day, his term was good, better, best. Do not let it rest until the good is better and the better is best. To this day,
I remember that one.
With
I do.
Yeah. Well, that's a teaching that lets people know that you don't ever just want to stay on one level. You want to always try to move up. Try to improve yourself no matter where you are.
Right.
Can I mention that there has been a model of success, albeit sometimes controversial, sometimes to some people even scary, but it was a model of success in many of the major metropolitan communities, Black communities, that has been the Nation of Islam. Man, do you ever see them cats in the bow ties selling the bean pies and selling the newspapers and some of them having grocery stores? It's called Shabazz, you know what I mean? And I remember as a kid, I would see these cats on the corner. They look so professional. So professional. They looked like they knew exactly what they wanted and what they were trying to do, you know? And they did.
Huh? That's exactly right. I agree with you 100%, brother. 100%. And this is the reason that I feel that it's so important, like you're saying. There's already a roadmap. All you have to do is follow it. But you got to get these folks to buy in on the roadmap. That's like the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's
Amen.
Already there. All you got to do is read it.
It's already there.
Right. Well, the roadmap is one of the things that we're sort of moving towards, coming up with things that parents can teach their kids that the kids will have a different mindset. It'll be more like upward mobility, like he was saying. And you learn more by teaching than you really learn as a student. So as the parents and we as elders teach parents what to tell their kids, how to motivate them, how to let them have high self-esteem, high confidence. As parents or empowered with this knowledge, they can empower their kids, and then their kids will go along and empower their kids so that, you know, we'll change it generationally. Aaron, I know you mentioned the story about the starfish. Tell us about that. Just remind me about that.
The starfish story, huh? Well, you got these two friends and they're having fun. They're walking on the beach, talking about life and talking about things. And they happen across hundreds of starfish that have been beached due to the waves. You know, the waves come in and they bring in the starfish, but when they come out, the starfish are left stranded. So one of the friends, he picks up one starfish, and he throws him back into the ocean, right? The other friend starts to laugh. He's like, man, what are you doing? I mean, what you did, that is not going to help, you know, all of these starfish. I mean, there's too many. And the guy looks at him as he picks up another starfish, and he says, that may be true, but it will help this starfish. And then he throws him in. And that is all that we're trying to do. We're trying to help one starfish at a time.
Amen. Amen.
You know, it's funny because my mama, who's a single mom, you know, working hard, all that kind of stuff, she instilled some things in me that I take with me today. She was a lifelong smoker. She stopped maybe when she was 2 years before her death. She finally stopped, right? Lifelong smoker. But she always told me and her kids, your children, this is nasty, this is terrible, this is what I do, but don't be what is that you do. And honestly, back in those days, you could send your children out to buy cigarettes. And that's what she did. So we would go out there buying cigarettes for her. But we never, ever took upon ourselves to smoke. Never. And I can say that for all three of my siblings, that's something that we did not do. So mom said, do what I say, not what I do. And in that instance, it works. And I know that's going to be a bad example. You can't do that. You know, you got to lead by example. Well, sure, that is true. But she was strong in her convictions, and we believed her. We believed her. So as long as parents can be strong in their convictions, your kids will believe you. Just like James, strong in his convictions, James Evans, you know. One thing that, in fact, there are two things in the short time that we have that I mentioned that I talked to all of my students all over the United States. And what is, I'll talk about successful people. Successful people make life happen for them. They never let life happen to them. And I live by that. I am a victim to nobody. Anything that happens to me, I take upon myself to own that, good or bad. And some people think that, well, Aaron, that's way too much stress that you bring on yourself. But I don't think so. I had times that I've been down, man. I've been down. I won't say depressed because I don't think I've been that, but I've been down. And I'm like just in the bathtub, oh, man, you know, oh, man. But I knew inside my head that once I stop and go, oh, man, and I wake up, that thing's going to happen. And sure enough, eventually I woke up. And once I woke up, my brain turned back on, and I was in charge of my life again. Wake up and take control. Stop being a victim to society, to the man, to circumstances. Hey, I do believe that even in the worst of circumstances, the people who will be successful will be the people who can overcome those situations. It doesn't mean that life doesn't happen, because life does happen, but it's what you do with it afterwards that separates you from other folk. So successful people make life happen for them. They don't let life happen to them. And then the other thing I got is successful people become successful by doing the things that others can't or won't do. And I think that's very powerful. You know, when I talk to the kids that I work with and we talk to them about school, I say, do the opposite. And they go, what does that mean? I said, when you see other people acting up, your classmates acting up, acting the fool, don't turn assignment, being all late, you do the opposite. And you see the response that you're going to get. You be the one who the teacher can rely on. Well, that's the same thing about life and business. I have made it my career, my reputation, that I'm the one that can be relied on. People know that when they ask Aaron Boyce to do something and Aaron Boyce says yes, for the most part, it's going to get done, and they can rely on that. And I feel very proud about that. That's what success is, too. You know, people will do business with you if they see that they can trust you, that they can rely on you, you know? But, yeah, success is you come up here by doing what others can't or won't do.
We have about 8 minutes of short time, and all mics are on. Anybody who'd like to ask our special guest, Mr. Aaron Boyce, a question, please ask now.
Aaron, I have a question for you. This is Walter Williams. Science that you're talking about, and it's wonderful. I hear everything. I've hung on all of your words. The question I have for you, you mentioned your siblings. Have any of your siblings bought into the science that you described as you have and attained at least the same level of success?
I think, as was mentioned before, everyone is different. So one brother, he decided to work for the state, and he retired after, 30 years or something, you know what I mean? And so now he's living off of his, you know. So he was very, very successful in his own right, using a lot of those same sciences that I mentioned. You know, I have a sister who also, but you know, everybody has had their own varying amount of success, and that is true. That is true. I'm not a millionaire by any means, okay? And as I mentioned, I've had my struggle, but I measure my success by the fact that I was always able to sustain myself and to bring others with me. And, you know, and I had fun. Legacy, it was talking about legacy. My legacy is in those students who are children, who are now grown up and are doctors and are teachers and are, oh, my God, what else? So many things that I see that my students have done, and I'm proud. I'm so proud of them because, as I mentioned to them, I'll take just a teeny piece of it. But I know that all I was able to do was to instill in something in them that they took and they used vigorously to be successful. That is my legacy, and I'll take it.
All right. Thank you.
Right. Aaron, we're going to weigh pretty heavily on you. I'm glad that you came on the show today because – What you have experience in and are doing is some of the very things that we would like to do in passing on information and ideas to people that can help them be more upwardly mobile. And so look for some phone calls from me, brother.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, I told you we're gonna have some fun, right?
I see you still there.
Yes,
that's good.
Right. So, Aaron, you've written a couple of books. I'm always, I guess I'm a wannabe author myself. So, just briefly, how do you do it?
But that was fun. I always tell people I started my first book by typing one letter, and then that one letter turned into one word, then that one word turned into one sentence and then one paragraph. Next thing you know, I got one page, you know what I mean? And keep going. You know, when you get excited, you jump on the computer and you start typing. And then when it goes, you stop. You know, I never try to force information onto the pages. It's when I get excited. And that excitement has led to one book called Seize the Opportunity and Other Marketing Strategies. And that is, of course, about business and marketing and some of the things that have worked for me. And the other is called Job Seeker No More, The Complete Guide to Employment Success. And of course, both of them can be found on Amazon, of course. But more importantly, people read that and they go, well, Aaron, I can hear you speaking when I read the pages. Because, yeah, I put all of me in those books. And that made it fun. And I think it made it fun and informational for others to read. Even those who don't know me, I believe very strongly that they will be inspired, informed, and entertained.
Right. I just want to let everyone who's listening know that if you would like to listen to a rebroadcast of this program or earlier program, you can go to blogtalkradio.com. That's blogtalkradio.com. And in the search bar on blogtalkradio.com, you type in the Council of Elders, and our shows will come up. Some of the recent shows, we've been on our own platform. Some of the earlier shows, we were on Mr. John Brown's platform, Uplifting Communities. So later today, if you want to listen to this show, you can go to Blog Talk Radio, type in the Council of Elders, and it should be on in a couple hours. Or also you can listen to some earlier shows. Aaron, it's been certainly enlightening for you to be on the show today. And before we go, I just want you to give us some of your motivational talk. We all need a little pep talk every now and then. So just put yourself on stage for about 1 minute.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, I hope that we have had a very truly great session. I know that success happens when you want it to happen, when you decide, when you make that decision that you will do what it takes everything to do. You sacrifice, yes, but you have fun because success should be fun. It shouldn't be painful. There's no reason why it should be painful. It should be fun. So when you find that fun to be successful, but you take the time and the effort in your busy day, in your busy life, you take the time and effort for you, because you're working for the man, that's true, but are you working for you? You must find a way to work for you. And by working for you, you will find the success that you need. And by all means, folks, bring other people with you. Bring other people with you, because that becomes the legacy. I thank you so much for listening to me. I thank you so much for your time.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Aaron Boyce. And that's about it for the show today. Thank Aaron for coming on the show today. Hope listening audience have enjoyed it. I know I did. And at this point, Mr. Walter, we're going to ask you to give us a closing prayer. Hello? Well, I guess I'll do it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this show today. We thank you that everything went well. We ask that your blessing and anointing on everyone that's listening. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 All right.
Yeah,
call
I was muted.
Next week.
Okay,
everyone.
Jan. All right. Thank you, brother.
10 seconds. It was a wonderful show. Yes, it
was. Yes,
come back
was.
Again next week. Yeah. Same time.
Thank you,
same station.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank
all
you
right.
so much for coming on.
All right.
I'll be in touch with you, Aaron, pretty soon, okay?
I look forward to it. All right, then.
All right.
Have a good one.
Thank you so much. Thanks again. Appreciate it.
Well,
very good.
All
good.
Right.
Thank you. Huh?
I say, well,
that's quite
you did
a,
good.
Quite a,
well,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I
everybody
tried.
Did good today.
I tried.
it
was,
like
it was a beautiful show, gentlemen.
Had a
sure.
little bit of yeah, it was interesting, enlightening show. I enjoyed it. My phone went out on me at the beginning of the show.
Ooh.
I got a little panic there for a second.
Well,
it went
I,
out
I,
on you.
All I could think of, Jason, was what you told me once before, that you and the guests should not necessarily be conference calling, because if one phone goes
right.
out.
Something like that.
We don't
might
have
help.
A show.
There you go. There you go.
That's all I can think about is what you told me. So that was a very good point. So I had to find you when you came back.
Yeah. Put it in perspective. There you go. Real good. Real
mm-hmm.
good. But just,
hello, Jan. I enjoyed the show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, guys. Hey, Pat, this is my sister, Carter. Greenwood, Mississippi, Miss Marjorie.
You
Patricia
always
Curtis.
Hiding back there. You got to come on out.
Yeah, uh-huh.
You
yeah,
had,
I really
what's
did this other
woods,
fair
like,
in
like
life.
Somebody's after
you. Pat, are you 9471?
Yes.
Are you 9471, Pat?
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to remember that for the future. I won't call you out unless you press the one on your phone. But I was telling you, I told once the end of the show, about 10 minutes before the end of the show, if I got any lines open, I'll open them all up. So you're welcome to speak in anytime you want to after that. But if you don't
yeah,
have
well,
a question,
yeah.
I won't press you.
Mm-hmm. What did you like about the show today?
Well, what I liked about it was that successful one person is not necessarily successful another person, and that, you know, people are on the scale of native ability and intelligence all the way from 30 to 150. So, you know, everybody not going to have the same goals.
That's right.
And
right,
see,
right.
I like the fact,
I knew you was
I like the fact that
Like I say, I'll call you out. This is Ron Rogers. I'll call you out. Okay. You've got some thoughts, too. And just me, I would like to hear some of you women's thoughts. Because most of the time, you raising our sons. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Our daughter.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's good for you to come out with your feelings. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Say what you got to say. So
well, next week
that's
I will.
Come on, Dan.
All right. Just press the one. Press the one and jump in.
Yeah. Right.
I thought it was a good show, Dan. I like the fact that he's a motivational speaker with a list, with a stuttering problem, and he didn't let it stop him. And I think that's wonderful.
He said that.
Yeah.
And he said that I'm not gonna let. I still got one, and I'm still working through it. But see, that didn't Paul say I had an affliction, and God say He wasn't gonna take it away from me?
Yep, that's what He said.
All right.
That keeps you concentrated,
well,
brothers. That keeps you concentrated.
That's true. Well, Mike, are you there?
No, Michael stepped down.
Oh, did he? Okay. I was talking to Michael earlier this week, and I was asking him, did he know about this guy? His name is
Boyce Watkins, and he has a YouTube channel, and he's a financial educator on the side. He's a teacher at Syracuse University, a brother, and he's written books, and he's got some flashcards for kids to give them a fun way of learning about, you know, mortgages and taxes and, you know, adult stuff that they're going to need later in life. And I'm going to order some of these cards.
So he's a financial person?
He's a financial educator, you know. His name is Boyce Watkins, and so I was talking to Michael about it, and so he mentioned Aaron Boyce. And so this was like maybe Wednesday or something like that. And so I Googled Aaron and Boyce that we had on the show today, and lo and behold, I got his cell number from the internet,
right,
of all places.
Dang.
So I called him up and asked him, would he be on the show today? He said, yeah. So it just, you can Google anything these days, boy, I'll tell you.
That's beautiful, man. Yeah, that's beautiful. And now you make me feel bad.
Yeah, because you got a closet tub shit.
You would remember. You would.
But I told Jason that he ought to check on getting Pastor on here, because I think Pastor would be a good guest also.
I think so too. Yeah. Yeah. And again, that's for even for us, that's elder.
Yeah.
So that's right. Well, and kind of that's what I was reflecting toward. I hope everybody understands when we were talking about the Jeffersons and
folks, to
who the motherfucker.
It wasn't the Jeffersons. It was the Evans. The Jefferson was on another show, Moving On Up,
right,
I believe
right,
it was.
Right, it was the Evans.
But we were talking
that
about
Good Times. Good Times.
Yeah, Good Times and the Hustle. So I was just trying to show an analogy there. But sorry, cutting you off.
I got it down here, Jansen. That was a great question, and that was the only difference that I had with him in his analysis of that. Back in the '70s, when the Good Times were on, see, he was just doing what he could to make it through. I'll take any job you got, as long as I get paid, I got folks at home I got to take care of. And by the time that we got to the Cosbys and them being a doctor and a lawyer, oh, Lord, that was a dream. And then your kids got dreams about doing something better than that. Oh, Lord, now we're in hot cotton now. That was my
The analogy I was trying to make, I don't mean to cut you off, but the analogy I was trying to make is that today in Sacramento, California, you got Florida and James Evans today.
The analogy I was trying to make is that
what can we as a council of elders provide information-wise and training-wise to teach the Florida and Jameses of today? What can you teach your kids so that they will be upwardly mobile? You know,
the same thing.
That's why I mentioned that.
You can do better. I do this to get you to the next level. Repay me by doing that. Don't sit down and wait for some girl to take care of you. You ain't all that. Now, that's just on the male side. But I understood your question. But I also wanted to mention, see, that's been a progression of ours for hundreds of years. You had no father as a slave to even dream about his son being any more than a slave.
Pat, do you agree with
that?
We've
come a long way, man. Huh?
I said, Pat, do you agree with that?
Patsy.
Yes, I do.
And that's the only thing I'm saying. We've done this generationally, and that's the way it's happened. See, because my mama gave me a dream. Just don't work for somebody all your life. And I've had three different businesses. But
that's
I've also
I
got
him.
Two different pensions.
That's what I learned from my guest today. That there are levels.
Yeah.
And that was a great analogy between the Evans and the Huxtables, because they are levels.
That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. I love it.
I thought that was a wonderful analogy, by the way.
And it was beautiful.
Oh, yeah, well, it kind of paints a picture of, you know, hard-working family and the projects. And how do we influence them to plant some new seeds in their mind? You know, the Bible said, "Be ye transformed by the renewal
by
of your mind."
Of your mind, that's right.
So that's what.
How about this? Even old men will have dreams, huh? And
that's what he also hit on.
That is what he also hit on. I'm 60-some years old, and I got a dream. Well, God bless you with that. Take off on it. You know how it's done. He is an instructor in doing that. Financially, he can show you the roadmap. All you have to do is follow. But that's our challenge. That's our challenge, gentlemen, as Council of Elders. Bring these roadmaps. Hey, man, I know somebody. Oscar does it all the time. I know somebody.
Yeah.
Go over and cut this Negro's yard. If you don't show up, that's on you. I gave you the job. All you had to do is go over and do it. If you don't want to do it, that's on you. It ain't on me. And that's where our dilemma is. We got to find somebody, and he said it again. I remember Tyler saying, "No, you got to start out about 6 years old." Because these kids have more information than we will ever get. Because they got access to the internet.
Right. Well, we're headed towards developing some protocols and best practices that parents can teach their kids. I was looking at Amazon.com the other day, and I got on there and I typed in how to raise successful kids. And there's a body of knowledge on it.
Okay.
I mean, not to say that everybody is going to work for everybody, but there's experts that's written about, you know, how to raise successful kids, and that's anybody that's listening to me to right now, I would charge you to study that and maybe get some books on it. We can talk about it. So we're going to put together a seminar of some type and invite people to come and listen to it for a couple hours, and maybe they can get some tips as to how they can change the course of their lives and their kids' lives.
May I interject right about there, Mr. Burks? I thought
yes,
it was
sir.
Wonderful that you plugged that information in about the Blog Talk Radio, because there are other shows out there that will allow other people to access the information that we are putting out today. And it was wonderful that you mentioned that. And you mentioned that they need to get in contact with him if they need more information on this subject. So I thought you did a really good job today, and I applaud
Bring
you.
Up.
Wait,
Bring
hey,
up, John.
Wait a minute. Well, hey, just in case you don't believe that, I'm going to prove it to you.
That's pretty good. See, he learned way too much, Jeff.
Well, hey, I had to be on my feet. Wait a minute. Hey, Rod, I had to be quick on my feet this morning because when we lost Jaslyn, I was saying, well, because I let Mr. Boyce go ahead and finish his own intro.
Yeah.
While you were getting back on the phone.
Very good. Very good. Yeah. Very good.
I told him to pick
again,
up where
he
was going. Thank you. Go
ahead and continue what you were talking about.
I thought it went well. So you
have got on the level with John Brown. I think you might have taken it up a notch or two. So congratulations.
Oh, he done took the crown. He done
Hey, that gives me a warm fuzzy all under.
We had two shows.
I'm watching
Jeff.
They want to hump your leg in a minute. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry.
We had two shows that went well, and things are we're back on track. In other words,
yeah, we are. Yeah, we are. Gentlemen, I'm finna go though. I got breakfast waiting on me.
I'll be right over.
Okay. You better beat them women, boy. They didn't already start.
Okay. All right, everybody. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys.
Okay.
Later.
All right.
Now.
Well, it was a good show,
right.
And we'll do it again soon. Next week, if not sooner. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.